Hear now the words of the witches, the secrets we hid in the night, when dark was our destiny's pathway, that now we bring forth into light.
Welcome to my abysmal dream. Listen as you will. So I have this night a metaphor in my mind that I wish to share with you. And this metaphor is a life thing. It's how I see life in a very descriptive way. So imagine, if you will, that you are reincarnated as a water molecule. Yes, one teeny tiny itty bitty little water molecule. And life consists of anywhere from the splittest, most second of life as a water molecule up to what we would call a minute, say. That's your total existence in the water. You pop in, and somewhere between then and a minute later, you pop back out again. And let's say that the... No, let's get that for the moment. So you're a little water molecule, and you pop into existence, and you're trundling along, and as you're going along for those first few seconds, you don't really know much of what's going around, but you kind of figure it out. And as you go, you start to notice that as you make a choice, any choice really, it sort of affects which way you go. And so maybe you make a few more choices, and it really starts to affect where you go. But really, for the most part, you're along with every other water molecule, and you're trundling on down the river. Let's say you're in a little baby river, and you're just trundling down it. Little water molecule in with all the other water molecules. But every time, like I said, you make a choice, you can move a bit. So as the seconds go along, you get better at this choice making and the moving more. And you start doing it a bit more. Now some water molecules might be happy with just that little bit more, and they trundle along with all the other water molecules. But maybe there are some water molecules that go, hey, well, this choice thing's pretty funky. I'm going to keep it up, and I'm going to try it some more. Yeah, I'm gonna make some choices and just see how far off I can get off of everyone else. Wouldn't that be cool? So there's some water molecules staying with the herd. There's some water molecules trundling off to the side. And some water molecules going every which way. For the most part, they go along, except for those ones who like to make really definitive choices. That's, you know, if there was nothing actually in the river, that's how things would go. Everybody kind of go in the same direction, you know, creating maybe a communal flow when they make communal decisions that kind of gives you shifts and eddies in the water, even though there's nothing else causing it. But some of the water molecules like to spring off to other directions entirely. Okay, so we've kind of got that image. Now, being as it's a little river, of course, it's not like it's going through a cement round sewer tunnel or something. Oh, not sewer tunnel. Sorry, water pipe. Erase the sewer tunnel. Go with the water pipe. So you're going through a water pipe, but a river doesn't do that. A river goes over sand, or maybe it goes over rocks. A river might have branches fall into it suddenly and block the way of the water molecule, and some of those water molecules will smack right into that log and poof, they're out of existence. And some will go around it, but their direction will never quite be the same again because they've lost their original crowd. They're off somewhere else because of that really big, you know, branch falling in their way. Birds might go into it, other creatures walk through it, you might get drunk, and that'd be quite something. But you get the idea, stuff happens when water as it travels through the river. Now there's a lot of water that, you know, aside from kind of a little change in how the direction goes as they go around branches or rocks, whatever, they're, for the most part, they're just going with the flow. They're just going along. Some are getting drastically affected by things completely outside the water. They're just happening to them. And some are making choices to change that flow for themselves. They're going this way, they're going that way. And now those ones who are making choices for themselves still can run into that pesky log, because when it falls, it's quite sudden, you know. Or might make a wrong turn and run smack dab into a big-ass rock and poof, out of existence again. You know, all kinds of things can happen whether you're making choices or not. But choices change where you're going in relation to the flow to everyone else. Yeah. Now, of course, add another little layer to that. Where you are when you show up. You know, where what the flow is doing. What that river is doing when you wink into your 1 minute of, well, up to 1 minute of potential existence, is going to be different all over the place, right? You could land in a water molecule that's already traveling, say, through a section of the river that's really calm and peaceful. Or you could end up in one that it's just been a storm and, oh my God, there's branches and crap everywhere and the water's all turned up and shit is happening. Or you could end up in an eddy of water where, you know, there's a log or something and water has been caught in a little swirl in behind the log for, you know, could be several minutes at least, that a single water molecule might run round and round and round in little circles in there. So for that minute, you could end up going particularly nowhere and just reliving all kinds of experiences over and over and over and over again. That sounds like hell to me personally. So there's all these ways that you could end up in the river, and then all these ways of how you could react to being in the river. And this, my dears, my darlings, my beloveds, is how I see us living in the universal flow. I believe that we are acted upon and that we act upon. And the two in combination create a constant change and flux that is ever yet still a flow that has its own direction. I hesitate to say more. Now, the interesting part, well, not that that wasn't interesting perhaps, but something that comes out of this. So for me, when you come into existence in that river, you know, there's probably, you know, a preconceived notion of what your odds of survival would be, just as a general water molecule at that point. You know, whether you're going to be in existence for 0 seconds or 100 seconds, that may be, you know, the odds are already set. So you've got, say, you know, the expected range for you is 50 seconds. That's what they're expecting you to hit. If things kind of go the way one would expect a water molecule to go, that's not quite right. But anyway, we'll just say that, actually, let's take this different place. It's not your water molecule that gives you this. It's just the universe. The universe goes, you know what? When I throw you in as a water molecule, the lifespan of your water molecule, I'm going to say it's probably going to be about 50 seconds or 30 seconds or not even a split second or over 100 seconds. It goes, that's what I think it's going to be. But then, of course, you go actually into being as a water molecule. And what that universal intention was is now no longer being set upon you. It is just an intention. And so there's your predisposition. And then there's the choices that you make. And then there's the things that the universe does to you. So now we've added another layer to our little psychotic river metaphor. And that is the predisposition. Not that it's decided, just that there is a most likely. But that most likely can change instantaneously by something unexpected, such as a branch falling in the water right on you as you pop into existence. You know, you're supposed to be around for 50 whole seconds of traveling through that river, and you pop into existence and poof, goes a branch. Done. You know, that is also a potentiality. That is how I see it. That you have a potential when you come in, and that everything after that is acted upon you, or you act upon. Now, to give kind of an example, which you possibly don't need, but I think will highlight something nicely in my own little head at the moment, This is the first time I've tried to actually explain this coherently, possibly. Well, no, okay, just explain it here. So, for example, you could have a water molecule pop into existence where its predisposition is to be in existence for about 50 seconds, half of the minute that a water molecule will be around for as part of reincarnation of the soul. Life is so weird when we go this way. And it pops into existence, and then branch falls, poof, gone. Not planned, not expected. And then you have water molecule whose predisposition is, you know, a millisecond. So that's what the universe is, you know, kind of flung on its head. And shows up, and sure enough, that was it, it's gone. Or you could have a water molecule show up that, you know, barely has more than that millisecond as its predisposition, but it shows up and it turns out that all the circumstances of water molecules around it were perfectly right to give it the support it needed in order to get through those first few milliseconds. And then, so other choice effect, and have altered what happened. And maybe it starts making choices and changes what happens, and that millisecond thing is gone. And it's only a predisposition. That's what I'm saying. So, taking this view of how the universe acts upon us and how we act upon the universe and therefore each other, the next thought that comes to mind, the next part of the dream, if you will, is about fairness. Now, you have to remember that I was at a funeral today. Well, you don't have to remember, it's just kind of relevant at the moment. And it was at a Lutheran church, and it had part of the sermon addressed the fairness of it, trying to essentially give the people in the room who were grieving a way of addressing and dealing with their grief, particularly at one part, the unfairness of it. I don't know if that would be part of the denial stage or part of the negotiation stage of grieving. But anyhow, the point is that when grieving, there can be very much a strong feeling of it's not fair. The point that I'm going to lead towards is beyond just the thought fair of life ending. But we'll start there, because that's kind of where the river thing takes us very easily. And what the river says is that there is no such thing as fairness. Not about fairness in the sense of, wait for it. Oh, I'm watching too much. How am I doing? But wait for it. I distracted myself. It's not fairness, it's entitlement. That feeling, fairness comes from, but he was a good person, he deserved to live longer. Deserved to, i.e. entitlement. He was entitled to more because he was a good person. That is an idea that is certainly, I think, rampant in our society, that if you are a good person, you should be entitled to better things. And if you're a bad person, you just shouldn't get it. And that it's unfair that good things happen to bad people and that bad things happen to good people. In my worldview, which can be described by the river analogy, there is no such thing as entitlement. You're born with a predisposition, and that's it. After that, you are acted on or acting upon. And you have no entitlement to be at any particular spot in the river. You have no entitlement to be in any bad spot. No good spot, no bad spot. You make choices. Other molecules make choices. And these choices act upon each other in a, you know, kind of networked way. And that the river acts upon you as well. And through all these interactions that ultimately are fueled from your side by choice, by other people's side, by their choices, by the universe. I have no idea if it makes choices about dropping the branch or not. That's, hello, the universe, the all, the beyond knowing. It just is. So whether or not it's deciding to do it, I have no clue. And in a sense, it actually doesn't matter. It happens. And that is the important part for us. And so there is nothing about fairness. It's not that the universe is doing things to us. Things happen. It's not about meanness. It's not about fairness. It's just living. It's just about being in that river and being acted upon and acting upon other things. Because the entitlement thing gets me too. You know, what am I entitled to in this world? It can be a tricky little question. And the answer ultimately is nothing. We are entitled to that very first instant of awareness. That's, you know, by coming into life, that was our first promise. If we made it past the gateway of whatever you want to consider the first part of living, whether it's after coming out of the birth canal, if it's after the first heartbeat, if it's, you know, after the first cell splitting, you pick your moment of when life counts. I'm not going to do that for you. But from that moment, that's the only moment we're guaranteed, I think, is that split second, the cat's whiskers edge of beaming into existence. From that moment forward, we have our predisposition, what we choose eventually to act upon, and what others choose and act upon us. And that can be a very broad statement. Remember, what they're choosing probably can have nothing to do with us, but everything affects each other, right? And how close we are to each other, one's choice will affect another water molecule more so. So from that first millisecond, that's the only three things playing into our world. There's no entitlement. There just is. There is likelihood. There is less likelihood, and there's choice. So that, my dears, my crazy, wacky fellow hatters, mad hatters all, we should all be mad hatters, isn't it a great way to live? That is my, I guess you could say abysmal musings, but abysmal dream sounded so cool to me today. Though I do want to start doing a segment called Abysmal Musings, which will probably be a little bit more, what's the word, grounded, potentially. I don't know how grounded this particular topic was. It was just when having that kind of expanded awareness, being able to condense it into words, I was like, okay, I have it. I have to share it. I have to share it now. I hope you have enjoyed. You know, feedback, always welcome. If I've confused the freaking hell out of you, sorry. I do that sometimes. If I haven't, or I've given you a piece of the key to something, fucking awesome, people. And if you think it's just funny and, you know, what the hell is she on? Oh, baby, I'm on life. And that's the way we should all be. Much love, take care, and until next time, blessings of a deep and wild to you. Bless you.